your Generic Live Show.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us. Wow, what a last couple of weeks it's been. I do apologize for the fact that there was no show last week. I do apologize for that. That was unplanned. Something came up, and I could not avoid it. And it's unfortunate that it just so happened to occur within the time slot that GLS happened. So I do apologize for that last minute withdrawal from last week's show. First of all, hello everyone, welcome to your Generic Live Show. We've got a jam-packed show for you, but it's been 3 years. I believe the actual date was 3 years on last Sunday, I believe it was. I believe that that was the case. Yeah. No, the 17th. So 3 years ago on the 17th. Was the launch, so Friday, was the launch of the Generic Live Show, and that's when this Mavic journey started 3 years ago. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who has been a part of the Generic Live Show, people that have volunteered for the Generic Live Show, interns, not producers, but production assistants throughout the show, and who've made the Generic Live Show become what it is today from just an idea I had. And this all spun from an on-air joke, and it's now a thing that I get to enjoy with you guys, and it's a thing that I am passionate about, and it's something that I am happy to share with listeners around the globe. Like, we're not just here in Australia, although we do focus primarily on the live and local matter of things, but we're also international, and tying everything together, it's been an amazing 3 years. So thank you to everyone who has made that possible. The next Generic Live Show milestone, I believe, is our 100th broadcast, which that sounds a bit weird that the Generic Live Show has been around for 3 years and still hasn't hit the 100 broadcasting mark. It's because of the rough times that this show has had, and I'm the first to admit that the show has had some rough times in the past, but it is so good that I get to bring this show to you each and every week. So it is an honor and an upright pleasure to do so every single time that I sit down and do this show, because it is a weekly show, but some weeks you can't help it, and there are some weeks where holidays just fall on a Sunday and we're not here, or all things come up on a Sunday that we can't do that. And I want to thank everyone. I want to thank people, listeners, people that work on the show, of course the Geek.io network that allows us to, you know, bring the show to what it is in its current form. Speaking of which, if you're an Australian listener, you might notice that this show is an hour earlier now because the daylight savings time in the US stopped. So you will notice a time difference. We are now broadcasting from 9 till 11 Australian Eastern Standard Time, and all times will be presented as thusly. Well, moving on into more news-related items. Now, there has been, and this first story, I'm kind of going to be approaching it from a different perspective. It's something that's been in the news quite a lot lately. It's the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, and it has been in the news. It's been in the press for quite some time now, and the fact that Republicans have talked about in the 2016 campaign about replacing it, about repealing the Affordable Care Act and replacing it with something about something that is similar but not quite the same. It's their version of it. So wanna, and it, I'm bringing it from a different sort of perspective here, because I wanna, you hear a lot of things from different political backgrounds, and we'll get, there are some articles out there, but I feel like for the purpose that the Generic Live Show is, where we are at now, it's best to kind of just sit down and just take the information as facts. So here is, it's quite a long article, and it's from healthaffairs.org, so you know it's a credible source when. No, and so here we go. Here's how they explain. So on March 6, 2017, yeah, a couple of weeks ago, House Republican leadership introduced Affordable Care Act repeal and replacement budget reconciliation bills in the Ways and the Means and the Energy and Commerce Committees. The bills, collective title American Health Care Act, so the AHCA, as opposed to the ACA, there's an extra A in there somewhere, are the committee's responses to the instructions they received in the budget resolution passed by both houses of Congress in mid-January to prepare the budget reconciliation, blah, 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 blah. The commences the markup of the bills in March 8th, blah, blah, blah. Let's get to the juicy stuff. In considering the Affordable Care Act in 2009 and 2010, the House held 79 hearings over the course of a year, heard from 181 witnesses, and accepted 121 amendments. The current House leadership hopes to repeal and replacement legislation through the House in 3 weeks. Wowzers. That's a short amount of time. The Senate adopted the Affordable Care Act approximately 100 hearings, roundtables, walkthroughs, and other meetings. And after 25 consecutive days in continuous session debating the bill, it's expected that the current House will go directly to the floor of the Senate for a vote. Whether it passes, the Senate will return for a conference with the House. If it varies from the House bill, then it will go up to the President for his signature, because that's just how that works. What do the two bills do and what they don't? Okay, so here we go. The leaked bill analyzer here earlier, the two proposed bills do not repeal the ACA. They leave in place the ACA's titles affecting Medicare, quality of care, program integrity, biosimilars, workforce reform, and Indian health services. Indeed, vitally for all ACA except for its insurance affordability provisions, individual and employer mandates, taxes, and Medicaid reforms. More specifically, the legislation does not appeal the ACA's insurance reform, much as the ACA's requirements for the health plans. Cover pre-existing conditions, guarantee availability and new ability of coverage, cover adult children up to 26 of age, and gap out-of-pocket expenses. And the ACA prohibits against health status underwriting, a lifetime manual, lifetime annual limits, and discrimination on the base of race, nationality, discrimination, age, or sex. Unlike the leaked version, the final bills do not eliminate the essentials health benefits provisions. They do repeal the ACA's actuarial value requirements and replace the ACA's 3-to-1 age ratio limit to a 5-to-1 ratio. Okay, so wow, here's where we get to things. So much of the ENC bill is devoted to changing to the Medicaid problem. Program, rather. Indeed, the bill does not say much about the ACA's repeal bill, as it attempts to change dramatically the Medicaid program. Most importantly, it transitions the federal Medicaid funding to a per capita basis by 2020, transforming the nature of the Medicaid program. The legislation Medicaid provisions also contact state authority to make a presumptive eligibility determinations, and an enemy. Limit a complicated way the ACA enhanced funding for the Medicaid expansion population. Eliminate ACA's disappropriate share hospitals cuts by 2020. Provide a $10 million safety net funding for non-expansion states over 5 years. Provide incentives. Addresses several issues. Broad, much. So, it also, there's also dealings with cost sharing reduction payments, patient and state stability fund for reinsurance and other purposes. This is really getting into AM radio territory. What I really want to get into, though, is basically the legislations are similar-ish, but not really, if that makes sense. Because in this one, there's changes to the ACA's premium tax credits and introducing two new aged-based credits. So there you go, you got to take that into consideration. So it's less based on just premiums, and it's more just based off age. No tax on higher cost to employee plans. Where is this leaked version? Is there a leaked version? It's somewhere. Okay, what does the bill not do? Ah, this is the one I want. Here we go. Here's the one I want. Bingo, I've found the bill. Bill, I have found you. You have been found, Bill. Ding. I don't know why I sound like I sounded like an airport announcer there. Bill, I have found the bill. Bill, we are looking for a bill. You definitely know this is scanned in because it's definitely not straight. So that's exciting for no one. So that is confusing. So I'm not going to read that because my gosh, I can't read straight. So what does this leaked bill do not do? What does the bill not do? Which bill? First, it must be emphasized what the bill doesn't do. It doesn't repeal the ACA. Indeed, it only repeals particular sections of the ACA. Effective after 2019. It doesn't appeal to repeal most of ACA's insurance reforms. It plans to cover pre-existing conditions, not health status underwrite, meet actual requirement value requirements. Cover adult children up to age 26, do not discriminate based on race, nationality, gap out-of-pocket expenses, and not impose lifetime or annual limits. Medicaid. Much of the bill focuses on the changes to the Medicaid program. I've already said this before. Okay, so the bill creates a new age adjustment. This is the tax credits I was talking about before. 2,000 for individuals under 30. 2,500 for those 30 to 40, 1,300 for those 40 to 50, 3,500 for 50 to 60, and 4,000 for those over 60. So, and a total tax credit for your family will be capped at 14K, which is odd. But anyway, well, actually, it's not odd, I suppose. If you look at it, well, hang on. Say if mum and dad are. I suppose if you it depends on the size of the family as to whether it is odd or not, actually. That's a good point. So for future huddles and the funding question. So these provisions are very well to change before the final bill. Indeed, they've changed already, but it's hard for some provisions, such as changes to the essential benefits or age rating would survive the budget reconciliation limitations in the Senate. It is more likely that some provisions of the bill, excuse me, will be rejected by the House Conservatives or moderate Senate Republicans. And most of the bill would certainly be rejected by Democrats, because, well, of course it will be. The biggest question posed in the draft is how Congress proposed to fund it. The bill would give up all taxes that funded the ACA, yet would provide tax credits, albeit less generous than the ACA's, to millions of additional individuals. The only real revenue in the bill's tax on a ginormous employer plans. Does not seem to add up, but the CBOs will soon tell us whether it does or not. But okay, so that is basically just skimming the surface of this legislation. I'll put that I'll note that web address down too. But the thing with this is, now a lot of news articles and a lot of commentary that you hear on this is very biased. So it is nice to kind of, yeah, it's a bit AM radio talky. It's not, it makes me want to like go through back through this segment and just turn it into an AM radio station. I mean, it's a lot of boring technical talk, but it's worth it in the end to kind of realize what the difference is between the Affordable Care Act and the American Care Association dealio. I don't know what was that, what's it called again? Someone remind me. The Republican bill. Okay. Wow. First of all, really, really helpful. So there's theconversation.com has written a piece about four places where you can read more, basically. The first place that they attribute it to is hang on, what? Four essential reads on the status of healthcare in America. Okay, this is not about the bill itself. So one of them is the insurance expenditures are projected to be roughly $1.4 trillion over the first 10 years of the ACA implementation and cover between 22 and 32 million additional America. The suspension is coverage represents one of the, if not the, single achievement of the ACA. So that is one of the read into where we are now. Another read is this so-called individual mandate also guarantees businesses for the insurance companies because it is led by healthy people into the risk pool, which you could say that, or you could just, you know, not say that at all. But you got that's also something to consider because you coming up into the election last season, you had last year. Wow, what am I saying? I'm really tired. Today, if you can't tell, I'm super tired. But I'm trying my best. I'm here. That's all that matters. So you've got to think, even in the pool of last year, you had people's premiums going up. So yeah, it was kind of benefiting the rich in that sort of way. But on the other hand, if it was benefiting the rich, then they wouldn't pay anything at all, if that makes sense. It's anyway. In addition, beginning in 2020, the bill would shift Medicaid to a per capita cap. This would fundamentally restructuring of the Medicaid problem affecting over 70 million people. That is true. Can't escape that one. But when healthy individuals choose not to purchase health insurance, insurers are left with costs greater than their premium income. That forces insurance to stop providing premiums, in turn leads to healthier individuals to drop coverage and increasing average claim costs. That's also true. Because if you're healthy, why would you need insurance? Right? Right. We will be talking about this again in the next hour, but it's important to put out there because you have all this spin on it and there is so much and it's kind of like, I feel like going, come on guys, can we just get rid of all this spin and let's just talk about the facts here. Facts are money, friend. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Well, There has been some outrage here. Actually, there has been quite a bit of local news here of late. And this next story, actually, you know what? We're going to be changing these two topics around. Yeah, we're going to be changing these two topics around because this second one doesn't need that much time. So, a popular app has now landed here locally, and we'll tell you more as we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's been 3 years. It's 3 years of GLS. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's a pleasure to be here as always. It's 9:21. Hold on tight. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us, as always, here on a Sunday. It's good to be here. And this week we are celebrating our 3 year anniversary of the show. So thank you for listening and being a part of the Generic Live Show. It's good to have you. As always, whether you're waking up or just going to bed now. So there you go. It's a Sunday. We can say that. People have big nights on Saturday nights. You'd be surprised. So speaking of which, see? Segue. Woo! That's why they pay me the big bucks. Yes. So the popular riding sharing app Uber. We all know about Uber. It's where things are great. So that's not how that works, is it? No, that's no. Okay. The great ride sharing company. No. nursing student, a casual boat attendant, and mother of three, Joanne Turner, doesn't have much time left to make ends meet when needed. So she heard that ride sharing company Uber was set to launch in Cairns. She immediately spoke to friends in Brisbane about their experiences as driver. Quote, "We had Uber meeting last month and I had the impression lots of people were interested," Mrs. Turner said. Quote, "There's a lot of women out there, there's a lot of women there as well. I don't think it's something only reserved for men. Why aren't women capable of whatever they want?" Oh, for crying out loud. Seriously? Now this Uber article has turned into "I'm a feminist, hear me roar" article, which it's 2017 and we'll get back to that. Trust me. We'll come back to that. No, but I agree. Women can do what they want. Women are great. So, by the way, if you're watching the YouTube video, don't take that side glance as being condescending. I literally just got distracted by something that popped up in the corner of my screen. So, while customers in Cairns can order an Uber from today being Thursday afternoon, Mrs. Turner expects to begin driving for the company in April. Originally from Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean, she said she thought Cairns was completely safe place to live and work. "It's a small city," Mrs. Turner said. "You'll always have your phone next to you to call the police. I've never had that problem in Cairns," she says. Visitor power demand for Uber. So, by the way, here's Uber by the numbers. An Uber fleet in Cairns is set to cater for visitors eager to use the ride-sharing service. The company's data shows that customers from 55 countries has already opened the app to take a look for a ride in Cairns. It showed that almost one-third of the 100,000-plus individual riders who had opened the app in Cairns were customers from other countries. Recent data from Tourism Research Australia showed that 14% of international visitors to Australia, 1.1 million people, used Uber during their stay. Visitors from the United Kingdom, 23%, visitors from the US, 22%, and other European countries, 19%, and Canada, 18%, were more likely to use the service, which that's not surprising, they're first world countries. Those visiting for educational purposes here in Australia, 34%, and employment, 29%, were also more likely to use the service. Uber Queensland General Manager Alex Golden said that the data showed the quote-unquote modern traveller expected to be able to use the service while on holidays. I actually like this idea quite a lot of Uber coming to Cairns. I want to say this right because it's a bit confusing. I have been a participant in Uber, but I haven't used the service. I haven't initiated the service myself, if that makes sense. I haven't been the one to initiate the connection. I should do it one time and report back on the show and see how my experience is. I might do that. No promises though. I mean, how do I prove that? No, I'm just kidding. I shouldn't say that out loud. But I should do it. All joking aside, I should actually do that for the show and report back and see how my experiences is. But in all the times that I have been a participant in Uber, it has been a good experience. I mean, it only took 2 days for the first sort of Uber era, if you want to call it that, to take place. An Uber driver on Friday night or Saturday night. Last night was disbanded for drink driving. Driving under the influence and then using Uber at the same time. Oops! But I joke and say that it's only taken this long. But, you know, it's human error too, so that you got to take that into consideration. And Uber is a good concept whether you like the company or not. But the huge argument that's going around here is, what's it doing to the taxi industry? And here's the thing. I don't know too much in the details. If you are a taxi, if you are involved in the taxi industry, please do let us know. But I'm still seeing the same amount of taxis out there. It's not that there's less taxis. Are they making as much money? I don't know. And no general member of the public will know. It's all speculation. But you've got to take that into consideration. Is there the same amount? Is there less taxis? In my experience, there has been the same amount of taxis. So I'm sure the taxi industry is doing just fine, particularly in a place like Cairns, where, you know, the tourism industry is so much, so therefore demand is so high. And you've got to, with Uber as well, you've got to make sure that you've got that supply to meet that demand there as well. So there you go. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, now we're going to get to the story that is absolutely revolting in every single way. I shouldn't say that. That one business owner is having quite a tough time, and he is asking for everyone to rally behind him. This story, actually, this might have to make this like the clip of the week or something, because I wanna shine a light on this. I'm not singing ever again. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for joining us. It's 9:32.
You finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure to be here as always. Just want to let you know that, yes, we have been here for 3 years this week. It's good. With music like this, how can we slow down? I mean, really. God, it is a bit like a party in here. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. And we're not doing anything. We're just doing a show. That's how we do. We're gonna do something for our big birthdays. Like last year, we did something for our second birthday, and the first birthday, and the third birthday. You kind of get a little bit fatigued on doing that. We'll do something for five, I'm sure, if we make it to 5 years, I'll be more than grateful. Jeepers. You know, that's only 2 years away, so I shouldn't say that. We're over, between zero and five, we are quite over the hump, so there you go. Just want to put that out there. So, hey, here's a story for you. At the owner of a popular Cairns cafe, a cafe here locally, is in a little bit of a disbelief after discovering he's lost a set of customers because the business is gay owned and operated. The owner of the cafe found out on the weekend that a couple who have been quote unquote regulars for the last 8 years at this establishment made it clear that they would stop frequenting the establishment because he and some of his staff are of the homosexual variety, as I like to say. He was stunned to learn that he had lost business because of his and his staff's sexuality. Out of respect to the couple, and actually, you know what? This article names him. I'm not going to name the owner either, because I don't know. I don't like naming people unless there's context there. But anyway, he told Tropic Now he's finding it very hard to comprehend. Quote, the couple had a conversation in which they stated they won't be coming here anymore because we're a gay-operated business. They still walk past every single day and refuse to acknowledge us. As the owner of a cafe, I've never experienced anything like this, unquote. The cafe owner, who is also a publisher and editor of gay travel publication FNQ Magazine, struggles to understand the rationale behind people's decisions. If we had bad customer service or our food was poor, I completely understand, he told Tropic Now. But to voice the fact that we're a gay operated and owned business as being the reason is a bit hard to understand. One of the issues in the gay community faced for the last 20 to 25 years is that the stigmas attached to our sexuality, for example, the belief that HIV AIDS is a gay disease. The only thing that I could really think of is, okay, maybe these people think that we have a disease or a virus that they're going to contract through our cafe, unquote. Or that they believed if we touched them that they would end up gay, unquote. Wow, okay. You cannot catch being gay. Well, that's true. If you do find it offensive that people have that belief, I just consider people as people, and that's how others should consider us and consider people's businesses. I do understand there are a lot of general issues that make these things happen, but it's a little bit upsetting, though in the end it's their loss. That's true. Things like this prove that there is still much work to do to be done in, to be done even now in the 21st century. Unquote. Well, the owner, after learning the couple's boycott, spent 6 hours working out how to handle the issue. He considered confrontation, but decided then just rather than just getting angry, he would make others aware of the situation via social media, without naming the couple, of course. His Facebook post has been since shared around the world throughout both LGBT and heterosexual communities. Quote, "I'm an advocate for the LGBT community, and my priority is letting people know that the issues still exist. I don't consider myself in a positive sense that I have the ability to influence or change perceptions, even ever so slightly, because ever so slightly 10 times makes somebody's perception change." Fair. Another Cairns cafe made headlines last year when a customer refused to be served by a barista of African heritage because of the color of her skin. I remember that. I think we talked about that story on this show. Now, kudos on this cafe owner. I mean, seriously, like, wow. Like, for saying something in the first, well, so much to unpack here, but for saying something in the first place, that's the first big step here. Like, not even kidding. Like, that's no, the old adage of knowing is half the battle, saying something is literally the other half of the battle. So, congratulations, dude. If you ever hear this, like, well done, on sharing it on social media and making people aware. I mean, awareness is definitely a problem still in even in 2017, even on the 19th of March at 9:42 p.m. Like, that's it's still an issue, and it's still something that needs to be conquered. And it's, loud and proud, it doesn't matter anyway. So now there is the other side of the coin. Not sorry, not the other side of the coin, but the side of this situation where it goes to the fact that it's not what do I do, but it's kind of like, let's apply it. I'm gonna apply this to my thinking, you know what I mean? And I do that a lot in these sort of situations. Now, it's quite obvious. If you're looking at the YouTube video, I have pink earbuds in. I don't need to say that sentence. But apart from that, apart from my pretty pink headphones, and it'd be the same thing though. It'd be the same thing if someone tunes in to GLS, although my sexuality doesn't really come up on GLS all that often. I mean, well, it comes up occasionally on GLS, but barely. Only in these sort of situations, and only when that the same-sex marriage debacle that was last year came up. They're really the only 2 times that I can recall, and I do a lot of episodes, and I crank out a lot of content on a weekly basis, and I did for a period of time, but they're the only times that my sexuality comes up in conversation in terms of this context. Now, if someone was to turn around and email me the chef one. Don't give that email out on. No, I suppose I could give that email out there. If you wanted to email me personally, yeah, sure. Theschefwonder@gmail.com. theschefwonder@gmail.com or genericliveshow@gmail.com is the show email. But see, that's the thing though. If email in and go, if someone was to, sorry, back up this train. If someone was to email me, yeah, or either personally directly at theschefwonder@gmail.com or genericliveshow@gmail.com, which is the show email, and say, I'm not listening to your podcast anymore because I realized I don't know why, I really don't know what this voice is. I realized that, yeah, we don't agree. But, and if someone did that to me, I would get offended, actually. I would get offended, much like the cafe owner. I would get offended. I mean, it's hard, like, to fathom the fact that in 2017 that people wouldn't like don't the people like don't like things for what they are, but they still read into them, whether it be a cup of coffee. You know, you look at a cup of coffee and you shouldn't see gay in that coffee. Like, it's a coffee. The coffee itself doesn't have a sexual orientation. Wow. Did I just get fed that line? But I like that. I might use that a little later on. But that's true though. Like, it's very true. Like, coffee and food at a cafe doesn't have that emotional attachment because it's an item. Yes, it was crafted by someone who may be gay or a part of the LGBTQ community. That's a different aspect, and that is that person. And I completely don't agree with homophobic behavior. I don't agree with it, but I understand it, if that makes sense. Like, I understand where it comes from. I understand, you know. Again, I don't agree with it, but I understand where it comes from and where it stems from, and some of the concepts. That's fine. And if people want to have that conversation, by all means, I'm more than willing to have that conversation. I won't blow up in your face. And as long as you don't blow up in my face first, because if you send me troll emails and troll clips, then that's a whole nother kettle of fish. Wow, I had something else for this. I just looked at the time. I had something else for this segment as well, but wow, I'm glad I gave this its full time. But apart from that, so as I was saying, good on this cafe owner for spreading on social media. Like, I wouldn't know what to do. And like I said, and it's not, I'm assuming at this cafe, I've never been to this cafe, which I'm half interested now. I'm just saying. I'm half interested in going to this cafe and seeing what it's like. But apart from that, it's why I have one question, and I'll end on this. One question. Why are people still in 2017 still reading emotional attachment into objects? And again, don't hate me for the fact that yes, I'm calling a coffee or a podcast that someone produces or a show that someone anchors and hosts and provides entertainment for you. I understand that there's a love of labor and I love doing this and the cafe owner loves making coffee, I'm sure. I'm making that assumption. Otherwise, why would you be in the game if you didn't find a passion for it? But I understand that there is that emotional labor there. But why are people still reading it into that object? Laying it out on that object. Whew. Papa, don't preach much, right? Preach much, Dale? Wow. Why don't you get on Why don't you do fanfare next time? Wow, that sounded preachy as all get out. Wow, jeez, look at me go. I wasn't expecting that rant. But here we go. All right. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, well, we're taking another round of the Trump Tracker for a spin. There you go. On that note, I'm speaking of preaching. It's the Trump Tracker up next on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's 9:50. We're here to give you a big dose of genericness. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Well, we're doing our favourite segment here on this show. It's not, actually, I shouldn't say favourite segment. It's a regular segment here on the show. It's something that we like to do every once in a while, every week, in fact. It's the Trump Tracker! There you go. That's the theme for it. So it's day 58 of the Trump administration. Wow, it feels like forever. With 1,402 days left in his term. Wow. So this is in partner with the Washington Post. So do thank the Washington Post for that. So here's where we're up to. So last time we were here, we were at the promise of suspending immigration in terror-prone regions where vetting cannot occur, which that happened with Trump signing the executive order of suspending from 7 countries for 120 days, which that got overturned. But on March 6th, issued a revised order, this time not including Iraq, and making numerous other changes. But that was also blocked. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. See? There you go. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Just can't get a break. So, and we talked about the healthcare, and we'll talk about the healthcare again at next hour. So, there you go. We will talk about that next hour as well. We talked at the beginning of this hour, kind of more of the sort of boring side of it. We got noise coming out of people's mouths this next hour. The first hour of the program is very information heavy. I'm aware of that. Next one in the healthcare one was let states manage Medicaid funds. That's launched. Next one that's launched is the redirect education money to give parents the right to send their kid to the public, private, charter, magnet, religious, or homeschool of their choice. There you go. Trump's budget plan to propose a shift in $1.4 billion towards expanding charter schools, private school vouchers, and alternatives to traditional public schools, but it must be approved by Congress first. So, hopefully it gets that one through. Next up is expand vocational and technical education. It's marked as stuck because Trump's budget plan would cut the Education Department's budget by 13.5%, but is silent on what happens to technical and vocational education. See? And next up is a broken promise. Oh, poor Trump. He's got, what, like two broken promises so far out of the 12 that he's launched? So that's not good. Trump's budget, contains deep cuts in aid for low-income first-generation college students. Oh, that's sad. That's a little sad. Next up is eliminate the defense sequestra. It's in his budget anyway. Next up is expand military investment. Trump's proposed budget would boost defense spending, though some critics call it falls short. There you go. And next up is create at least 10 million jobs in the first term. Trump says he will create 25 million jobs over 10 years. So, the Washington Post will track a proportionalized figure of 10 million in 4 years. Oh yeah, that makes sense. Oh, prorated. What did I say? Proportionated. Well, that's similar-ish. TM, not really. So that's how Trump is going, and the source that we use for that one is the Bureau of Labor Statistics is what we're using for that one as well. But how many jobs have been created since Trump's been in office? I'm just saying. Plus 235,000? Yeah, 235,000. Which is good, I guess. But from when he takes office to February of 2017, hasn't really moved all that much. So, there you go. Well, that was a check of the Trump Trucker. What? As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, well, next up, we have a bit of news for you. A bit more of the GLS for you, coming at you, smacking you right in the face. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Hour two of the program continues next. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here, celebrating 3 whole years of this shindig. Woo! It's 9:59.